Extremely tasteful.
Breakfast food on 95 BFM, thanks to Foodprint, the only food ordering app you need.
Morning, Sam.
Good morning. How is everyone?
Good. This is the energy I need to, this morning. How are you going?
Good. Like, I've already made plans to go to restaurants. I've made reservations.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Yeah, it's happening.
It is great. I was actually thinking about you as soon as, you know, they properly confirmed the traffic light systems. I'm like, Sam's going to be so stoked to get back into some real nice restaurants and cafes and stuff.
And just enjoy hospitality and not cooking every single meal and cleaning up every meal.
Yeah, big time, big time. Be nice to not have to do all of the dishes, eh?
Yeah, so good.
What are we talking about this morning in the world of food?
Okay, this one has a bit of a controversial topic, and I feel like I've been exposed to this everywhere I go, more specifically in the last couple of years, but okay. It is meatless meats, so meatless meat alternatives. Meats.
Okay, see, on one level I'm like, I don't think there's, it's not necessarily controversial, because like, being a vegetarian has been a thing that exists as long as food has existed, you know what I mean? But there is something about meatless meats. It's slightly different to just some veggies, eh?
100%. And let me tell you why. It is it's basically a new food product that was introduced in 2010. Okay. So it's like a completely new category of food, and we're not talking about meat analog, which is a food industry term for meat-like substance made from vegetarian ingredients targeted for vegetarians and vegans. This is different. This is completely different. This is meatless meats that are designed to almost mimic real meat. So the texture and flavor of real meat, and even appearance at times.
Now I'm understanding the difference. Yeah, got you.
Yeah. So the likes of the launch of Impossible Foods, which is creating those beef-like patties that essentially bleed and react similar to cooking beef and eating beef. So that's the type of food I'm talking about. Have we encountered any of this?
I have never actually eaten it. I mean, I've eaten the kind of, I think the first type that you talked about there, those analog meats, meats that are sort of fake meats that mimic meat, but not really.
And you're like
not,
fake chicken.
Fake chicken, which, yeah, it's not really chicken-y, but it's not trying to actually be chicken without the meat. I haven't tried the actual meatless meats. I'd be keen to hear from the listeners, though, if people have either tried that or if it sits way too in the uncanny valley ick factor for them. Do text us on 5395. Have you tried it, Sam?
Yes, I have, and it was actually by mistake.
I was tricked into it.
Yeah, well, I was in Vancouver, and I agreed to a date with this person, and this person recommended we go to this restaurant, and I had no idea it was a vegetarian restaurant.
Oh, true.
And this person ordered the burger, because that's kind of like the main highlight of this restaurant, and then I ordered the same thing. And then after I left, I was like, oh, that wasn't a beef burger. That was meatless burger. That was almost tasting like beef, but it was drowned in sauce and there was fried chips and aioli on the side, so nice. I wouldn't even know the difference anyway.
Wow.
But it's super interesting, and I think now in the supermarkets you actually can't ignore that there is meatless meats on the same shelf as meat.
Yeah, totally.
So let me just talk about a little bit about that kind of meat substitution and that long history. So, I mean, yeah, ever since the creation of like Buddhism, meat substitutions have happened in medieval ages in Europe. However, meatless meat substitutions have kind of risen in probably the last 5 years because of the growing demand of meat from the middle class, and which caused, I guess, kind of questions around carbon emissions and environmental factors and climate change through meat production. So a bunch of tech-focused companies wanted to invest in this new type of food movement, and more of most of them kind of are in San Francisco and LA, where they started these type of food tech companies in those very tech driven cities. And ever since then, they've always been granted funding since 2010, and right now it's grown to like over a $30 billion industry worldwide.
Whoa.
Which is crazy.
Heck.
But it's one of those questions. It's like, well, how is it made? does it taste good? And yeah. is it actually better for you and the environment?
I feel like those are the key questions here, because it's all yeah. well and good, but like, why not just eat, you know, an actual bit of meat or not? You know what I mean? Why are we going for this sort of like middle ground? Is it better? Is it good? What is the general consensus out there, Sam?
The general consensus is that we're not really sure.
there is one.
From the tons of like food podcasts I listen to, and yes. also like reading that I do, they always have guests and dietitians on the shows and talk about like meatless meats. And a lot of them are, it's controversial, because ultimately it's still a heavily processed food. So I'm going to talk about how it's quick, like how it's made essentially.
Yes,
so like
please.
what are involved? So basically it involves a plant protein, so it's modified for texture. Then they add a flavoring protein, which is either like a potato protein or a yeast. Then if it's like impossible foods where it reacts to cooking, like bleeding of the meat, then they yeah. have this product called heme, which is heme. Yeah, so it is genetically engineered, and it is rich in iron molecule, and it's found in a lot of the flesh of animals and plant roots.
Right.
And how they make it is essentially genetically engineering yeast and fermenting it to Whoa. Create that heme. So all these products that I'm mentioning are heavily processed.
Yeah, totally. This is like your McDonald's burger almost, but the veggie version.
Yeah, and it's like, well, that's up for debate, because they kind of go, well, is it actually better for the planet in terms of carbon emissions? Yes, growing plants is less carbon emissions. However, getting all these plants processed together and the amount of byproduct and wastage is never really taken into consideration in the research.
Interesting. So,
and plant wastage, it makes up about 80% of food waste. So, I mean, it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, is it better or is it worse? And if you're talking about flavor, I mean, it's through all the blind tastings I've seen so far, is that meat is still the one that people lean towards.
Right.
And then if it is about health and nutrition, it kind of goes back to like whole foods versus processed foods.
That's so interesting. I mean, I guess it's cool that it exists out there. What yeah. about the environmental factor, though? We still don't really know, as you said. Like, I guess that's one thing that really does draw people who aren't necessarily, because I know that sometimes if you're vegetarian, you don't want to eat meat or things that like pretend to be meat. You know what I mean? That there's some people who are like, I don't want to sit in that category. My flatmate, she's like, I don't want to eat fake meat. I just don't want to eat anything meat related, you know, but yeah. there's other people who are like, I would rather not eat meat for the environment, but I like how it tastes, I like to have a good burger and stuff like that. You know, for that sort of sense, that environmental aspect, that's one that I think would get, you know, more people maybe to sit in that camp, but we don't really know much about that yet. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. But I mean, the benefit of this is that it is starting more conversations around environment factors, right? And kind of the negatives of carbon emission through these industries. And I guess at the end of the day, it's going back to eating variety, eating diversity, and also just eating whole foods and foods that are closer to you. Because
totally.
Impossible Foods did a giant launch with Burger King worldwide, and that's kind of how it kind of
right.
got its name out there. Or was it Beyond? Well, one of the meatless meat companies. And it got people talking about why it's getting launched. However, it is still not made locally, and the carbon emissions of that isn't that great. So there are pros and cons to this.
We've got some hot takes from the texters,
yeah.
which I'll read out.
Yes.
Someone says they're not vegetarian, but they like the sun-fed chicken, which is fantastic.
Oh, sun-fed chicken. Very good.
So is that a meatless meat?
Yeah, it's okay. like fake chicken.
They said they'll happily have it in a stir-fry type meal. Someone else says their hippie mum was putting soy luncheon in their school sammies in the 1990s. So good one there. Someone else has said that they're vegetarian because they don't want to eat dead animals, so they like the texture and taste of meat, so fake meat gives them, I guess, the best of both worlds there. And someone else has also said that this kind of meat in quote marks, helps to convert people who would refuse to eat vegetarian. There is that too. And someone else has texted in that it's reminding them of Slurm from Futurama. So I guess it is still not 100% loved by everybody out there. But
yeah.
It's an interesting one. I guess if they can get it into that space where it is more environmentally friendly or traceable, then maybe it could really take off.
100%. And I feel like there are more local brands starting to dabble in it as well. I mean, and there's things coming out such as like chicken-free eggs.
Yeah. And that I find so interesting.
So how does that work? What's a chicken-free egg? It's not just like chickpea juice, is it? That's what people always like, just chuck some chickpea juice
no,
in there.
No, so it's not like a shape of an egg where you can crack in the side of a bowl. It's more like a powder where we rehydrate and it turns into almost like a scrambled egg. So it's made of mung bean protein.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. This is a brave new world out there, Sam, isn't it?
It's crazy.
A whole new world
like
to
food
explore.
Food is getting faster and it's getting slower.
It is. Oh, I'm so interested in this. Thank you for bringing us meatless meats this morning, Sam.
Thank you.
Someone has also said that Impossible Burgers are great for a carefree cheat day in their mind. We've also had people just say, good old classic Linda McCartney, best burger patties ever.
Oh, yep.
There's a lot of good supermarket brands out there, eh?
Yeah, heaps.
Heaps. Hey, thank you, Sam. Have a lovely rest of your day. We will talk to you next week.
Awesome, thank you.
Enjoy the cafes and the restaurants. Woohoo!
Yes.
Well, actually, where's the first one you're going to? I'd be keen to know. What's your top of your list that you've got?
Oh, I think just cafes in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go support local. Hey, thank you, Sam. See you later.
Thanks.
Food for thought.
Breakfast food on 95 BFM. Thanks to Foodprint, the only food ordering app you need.
I'm quite hungry.